Okay, so you might be asking, how is that Jackass clip supposed to help me get ready for the summer? Let me tell you all about it. On your note sheet, the big idea is begin with the end in mind. Now, they showed the smiley face in the beginning there. They didn't hit the mark, but they knew the mark that they wanted to hit. It's summertime. And summertime, if it's the same as it is for you, as it is for me, is kind of that time where the long, hard winter is behind me, and I need some me time. I want to recreate. I want to let my hair down. I kind of want to get out of the regimen of everything being so different. When I get into the summertime, it's easy for me to start to fade. The goals that I had, my diet goes to the wayside. Getting in shape goes to the wayside. I want to see lots of movies. I want to hang out and have barbecues. And when I get to the fall, oftentimes I've lost traction. And life's a rhythm. Summer is for barbecues and hanging out and having fun and going through recreation. But if you lose too much traction in the summer, you can't end the year strong. So as we go into the summer, we're going to talk about what kind of an ending do you want to have to your summer? Because listen, the ending of your summer sets up the rest of your year. You can lose so much traction in September and October, you're just like trying to grind through it. And it really started back in the summer when you just start to fade and everything sort of gets away from you. So begin with the end in mind. Look at this part of the Bible. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Begin with the end in mind. What would you like to harvest at the end of August or the 1st of September? What is it you want to see occurring in your life? Because summertime is the time that we can just go right off the agenda. We sort of let our hair down. We float a bit. And then we get to the end of the summer, which a lot of that is okay. But you get to the end of the summer and there's no harvest. Nothing's been accomplished. Everything's kind of off track and you're trying to start it all up and ramp it all up again. So we're going to talk today about how do you not have that happen? Write the first one in your notes. What do I need to ask God for? And that's the foundation of beginning with the end in mind, because asking God tells us what we'd like to see occur. This is something that Jesus said, until now you've not asked me for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive so that your happiness may be complete. Now, why did he say that? When Jesus cannonballed into this existence as a little baby, it was a pretty big deal. And what he discovered is people had sort of adopted this very distant approach to God. They weren't asking God for anything. They didn't see God as someone that would interact in their life or intervene in their life. The whole nation of Israel had just gotten to this place, the entire church had gotten to this place that God is just kind of out there. He doesn't intervene in my life. I don't ask him to do anything. I don't blame God for the bad things that happen in my life, so why would I thank him for the good things that happen in my life? The personalness had just sort of drifted away. And then Jesus shows up, and he's very personable. He's very friendly, and he talks about a relationship that can occur, and it was confusing for people. They watched how he talked and how he acted and how he engaged and the different things that he did, and he didn't seem like the God that they had created. How do you see God interacting in your life? Sometimes in the summertime is when we can get to that place where we're sort of like, you know, here's why I think it occurs for me is that, you know, I create some distance with God. Sometimes I don't see him as intervening in my life because I don't want to get mad at him or disappointed with him. I don't want to have an argument with him. I don't want to try to figure out why he let something. And isn't it like that in all relationships? When you have a relationship with someone, you're trying to figure out, you know, why did they do the things that they did? Why didn't they do the things that I asked them to do? And I don't want to go there with God. I would just soon let him sort of be distant. He's just kind of watching. He doesn't intervene. He doesn't make anything good happen in my life. I mean, I have the marriage I have and the job that I have and I have the finances that I have and I have the size of body that I have. All that just kind of happens because those are the choices that I made. I'm not going to blame him for any of those things. I don't want to get angry at him, disappointed. And then when the good things happen in my life, I don't thank him for those. I'm like, well, I worked hard for that. I strategized, I saved, I sacrificed. And he becomes more and more and more distant until God can almost just become an idea. And that can happen in the summertime. He's just sort of an idea, a concept. And then, you know, you sort of keep the morals and the rules. It's like, well, I know what it is to be right, and, you know, I don't want to do anything that's crazy off rails. And so you keep those, and then those start to fade too. And pretty soon it's all gone. The Bible's gone, the rules are gone, the system's gone, God's gone, he's just an idea or a word. And that's the culture that Jesus cannonballed into as a little baby in his family. And that's the culture that he started to talk to people and showing something different. He said, no, actually, it's nothing like that. He said, it's a relationship and it's dynamic. And there will be times that you're disappointed and confused, and there'll be mysteries, and it's like any other relationship. It's almost like Jesus showed up and said, God will make you scratch your head at times. And that's okay, because it isn't the point. He says, ask and you will receive. Notice he doesn't say, ask and you will receive what you asked for. He says, ask and receive. The promise is you will receive if you ask. You may receive wisdom, guidance, patience, understanding. You may receive something sooner than you thought or later than you thought. You may receive more than you thought you'd ever get or less. But you will receive if you... Here's the promise. If you ask, you will receive. Now, the adventure and the surprise when it comes to God is, what will I receive? And do I trust that what I receive is exactly what I need? How many times have I asked and asked and asked and asked God for something and it never arrived, and then later I looked back and realized I had received exactly what I needed. It was just way different than what I thought I needed. And the promise was still kept. See, asking is about a connection. If I see you today and you're leaving and I come up to you and I ask, hey, you want to go see Wonder Woman? It's a pretty powerful connection. You know, hopefully if you're a dude, you're like, no, I have a man card, thank you. But whatever. Just saying. But if I see you and I come and ask, hey, do you want to go out to lunch with my wife and I today? That's a powerful connection. That causes a response. It's a very connecting form of relationship to ask. And also it's a form of vulnerability. Hey, you want to come over to my house for dinner tonight? Oh, we have a lot of plans. We're not able to come to your house like forever. Don't they like me? What's it? Asking. In your program, there was a little index card. Would you take that out just for a second? Everybody, hopefully everybody got one of these. And you should have a pen. Just take that out for a second. I want to ask you a question. And then I want you to write on this index card. And if you don't have an index card, just write on the person's back next to you or something. But if you or their index card. But I'm going to ask you a question. And I want you to write on this index card the first thing that comes to your mind. The very, very first thing that comes to your mind. Okay, here we go. Get your pen, get your index card. Here it comes. What do you need to ask God for this summer? Write it on your index card. First thing that came to your mind. What do you want to ask God for this summer? Write it on your index card. It's a form of connection. Now, your index card now is beginning with the end in mind. Because this represents what you'd like to see occur with God this summer. Beginning with the end in mind. Starts with asking. And God wants to intervene and be a part of your life and connected with you by asking. Number two. Where do I need to stop procrastinating? Does the farmer always plow and never sow? Is he forever cultivating the soil and never planting? Does a farmer always plow and never sow? Does he not finally plant his seeds? Procrastination. A jogger is coming through a park, Central Park in New York City. He hears a woman cry out on the side of a building, and he stops and he looks over, and she's being attacked by a man. It's inevitable what's going to happen. And he stops and he looks, and everything's going through his mind. Don't get involved. Keep running. He may have a gun. You could get hurt. It's not your problem. And in an instant, he just, almost by reflex, charges the guy, knocks him over against the wall and down, and this attacker, this guy, gets up and runs off across the park. And this girl scampers behind the side of the building. Her shirt is torn. It's just all in an instant. And this jogger is just like, whoa, you know. And the girl's along the side says, listen, hey, he's gone now. You're going to be okay. I'm calling 911. He's gone. It's going to be okay. And the girl comes out from the side of this building. She looks over and she says, Dad, is that you? And that's when he realized he was no jogger. He was a father, and that was his own daughter that he had just rescued. Procrastination. Opportunities pass or not. Summer can be the time that I sort of take time off from opportunity. I get around to those in the fall. Got some camping to do and some fishing to do and some movies to see and some salsa to make and eat and some salsa to make and eat and some more salsa to make and eat. I got some summer beer to drink. So I got some clothes to buy, and all of that's fine. It really is. But when you come obsessed with it, when you run by, you're like, hey, this is summertime, man. And an opportunity gets by you. So people approached Jesus, and they were talking to him about being willing to follow him. And I did want to ask the question, what are you hoping to see happen with you and God this summer? Just in your relationship with him? They came to Jesus, and they were talking about stuff. And I went, this isn't in your notes. It's going to come up on the screen. I want to read it to you. He was awesome how Jesus was with these people. They came up. One says, then a teacher of the law came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. So he sees this guy and he sizes him up and he says, oh, I see the type of relationship you want to have with me. I know when you'll get started when you have guarantees from me. And Jesus said, I can't give you any guarantees. I can give you closeness. I can't tell you where you're going to lay your head, but I will tell you that you can lay your head next to mine. Do you ever stop and withhold and you don't get started because you're like, I need a guarantee on what's going to happen here before I'm going to get started? Boy, summer is an awesome time for that. Well, I'll just put everything to the side. Here's another one that comes up to him. Another disciple, now this is someone that's following Jesus, this is a disciple, said to him, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. But Jesus told him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. You're thinking, come on. Here's what he was saying. You can get caught in this. I'll do it after this happens. I'll get started as soon as this occurs. As soon as. Jot that in your notes. You ever get caught in that one? As soon as they start respecting me at work, then I'll be a good employee. As soon as she starts having dinner ready, then I'll start to talk to her. As soon as my parents apologize for the things they did when I was a kid, then I'll think about spending time with them. As soon as. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus picks up on it. He says, oh, I see when you're going to get started. You're going to get started as soon as. And as soon as can keep you stuck. I'm going to start my diet as soon as my vacation is over, or as soon as my birthday is over, or as soon as your birthday is over. I'll take anybody's birthday because I'm starting my diet as soon as something occurs, and I can come up with 100 of them. How about you? Procrastination. Crazy thing. Now, one other scripture I want you to look at, and I'm going to put it up behind me. And I want to, just for a moment, talk to the people. You'd say, I'm following God. And East Lake Church is for everyone. You can come and kick the tires of walking with God here as long as you like. So if you're following God, and I just want to ask this question, because summer is a time we can press the pause button. Here's what I'm going to read you. Without delay, I hurry to obey your commands. Now listen, is God asking you to do anything and you're delaying? And now summer's here. And you're thinking, phew, I made it to summer. I can relax now, and I'll get back to that in the fall. Is God asking you to do anything you're delaying? I want to read you a story that I've told my kids 100 times. I've read it to them. I tell it to them. You know, oh, Dad, not the snake story. But this is a thing in our family. I want to read you this. I've read this to my kids so many different times. And every time I pull it out, their eyes roll. But hopefully yours won't. Here it comes right here. Okay. A young son of a missionary in Zaire, a Christian missionary in Zaire, was playing in the yard. Suddenly, the voice of the boy's father rang out from the porch, "Philip, obey me instantly. Drop to your stomach." Immediately, the younger son did exactly as his father commanded. "Now, Philip, crawl to me as fast as you can." The boy obeyed. "Now, stand up and run to me quickly, Philip." Philip responded. As the youngster turned to look back behind him, in the tree, hanging from one of its branches, was a large poisonous snake. If Philip would have hesitated and asked, "Why do you want me to do that?" or he could have casually replied, "In a minute." But his instant obedience, without question, saved his life. Is God asking you to do anything you're delaying? And in your delaying, you think it's no big deal. Is it? Be careful about summer. Summer invites delay. Or it can easily hide it or prolong delay. And then we get to October and there really was a snake in the tree. Number three, write in your notes. What contradiction am I allowing? Do not plant two kinds of seed in the same field. What the heck does that mean? Contradictions in our life. So I kind of want to put myself out there a little bit and tell you something that happened to me. So I'm trying to change my diet. And I'm trying to get in shape and exercise. And I'm trying to eat more healthy and change my diet. So I dropped by a store the other night. I'm on the way home. And I dropped by a store the other night. And I want to get a Coke, right? I want to go in there and get a Coke or a soda. I'm going to go in the store. I'm going to get some stuff. And I think, God, you know what? You told yourself you're going to be more healthy about this, loaded with sugar and everything. So I grabbed an organic drink. They had an organic drink in there, and I grabbed an organic drink. I thought, okay, here, you know, I'm going to get this drink. I'm going to get an organic drink. And then to go along with it, I got a Bahama Mama and sour cream and cheddar Ruffles chips, which are dipped in crack cocaine. They're so addictive. And I got 2 packs of the new caramel M&Ms. If you haven't had those, don't start. And I took that all up to the cash register. So I had my organic drink, you know, where it all started. And I had this, and the Bahama Mama was loaded with it, like a hot dog salad. I had so much on it. And it was almost like, it probably would seem so crazy to the person checking me out, because here's this organic drink and then all this other crap, you know. And the girl checking me out, it was like she was going to smile and be like, "Who do you think you're kidding?" You know? I took it out to the little picnic table and I sat it there and I actually felt self-conscious. I wish I'd had the Coke because it wouldn't have, you know, seemed so contradictive. You know, I was like, you know, and then I thought, my life often looks like that. I say I want to be kind-hearted at work and then I get together with all the guys and I talk crap about the managers. I say I'm going to go home in a good mood when I'm stressed out from work. And then I walk in and I see a couple things at the house and I put a big frown on my face. Sorry. And contradictions in life, they just don't coexist. They create tension in our heart. And they're confusing to us and other people around us. One of the reasons the Bible gave this example, it said, even dirt wants to know what it's doing. Even dirt wants to be clear and have one direction. And man, you're way more than dirt, and so am I. And you know, in the summer times, is we can invite a lot of contradictions in. We can be so clear what's going to happen in our families, in our life, and then you just let down in the summer. It's just what summer, and that's part of the good thing about summer. Especially when you live here and you go through a long winter, it's like, phew, I got to let down a little bit. Nothing wrong with it. You don't have to scrape the car and all the stuff you have to do to get through the winters here. But if you go too far and you open up the door and in rushes all the contradictions, And then you lose clarity and direction. And then you hit the fall and you don't know where you're going in life. Contradictions. Do you have anything in your life that's a contradiction? And it's not just coexisting. It's creating tension. And then this last thing, where do I need to overplant? Remember this, the one who plants few seeds will have a small harvest, but the one who plants a lot will have a big harvest. So that's self-explanatory. I mean, what we put in is what we're going to get out. But what maybe isn't self-explanatory is this question. Where are you going to overplant? Where are you going to focus this summer? And I want to ask this question. What would you like to see better between you and Jesus? You want to learn to worship and sing songs more? Come to church on time. Sit up a little closer and read the words. Sing. Actually sing when the music starts. You know how we play the music so loud here? So we don't have to listen to you sing. And the person next to you doesn't have to listen to you sing. This is the best place in the world to come and worship. Some churches are so quiet. I mean, the minute you come in, they're like, shh, God doesn't like loud noise. Shh. And then they play the music so low. I mean, you gotta be like a rock star to raise your voice because, like, you know what you sing like, bad. We play the music super loud here and we turn the lights off. So if you're singing really loud, and someone even over the music can hear it, and they kind of look at you, just go like this. Oh, no. That's them singing, not me. We do that on purpose. Would you like to be a better worshiper next fall? Start this summer. How about the Bible? Would you like to look at the Bible and go, I'm not intimidated by that book. I don't understand it all. I scratch my head at it. I don't got it all down, but it doesn't intimidate me anymore. I can go to that book and read it, and if you want to do that, I'll hook you up with someone. They'll show you how to not be into. Would you like to get to the fall and go, you know, me and the Bible are friends? Not that big a thing. Would you like to be kinder? Would you like to be able to hear God's voice more? Do you need to be forgiven of anything this summer? And it's the type of thing that. Deep in your soul, you know that you're probably never going to have the life you want until you are. What do you want to see happen this summer? More than water skiing and hiking and fishing and all that, which is awesome stuff. But what do you want to see happen with Jesus? Because here's the thing. If you include him, he'll even make it occur while you are water skiing and hiking and seeing movies and doing summer stuff. If you don't leave him to the side, if you include him in your summer and you say, this is where I want to overplant, God. I want to work on this summer. You'll get to the fall and you'll have a harvest. Now here's the bottom line. And you can write it in your notes. God and I work together. For God who gives seed to the farmer to plant and later on good crops to harvest to eat will give you more and more seed to plant and will make it grow so that you can give away more and more fruit from your harvest. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Start with the end in mind, and when you get there, you have more to start again with the end in mind. What would you like to see occur this summer with you and Jesus? I want to give you just a moment to think about it. Grab your connection card. And this is also the time that a lot of times we check on our Facebook Live and just go there and say, I went to church today, or our pastor is a junk food junkie, or whatever you want to put on there. And do you know last year, whenever we go to Facebook, there's an organization that partners with us and gives away money. Last month in the East Lake Network, we gave away over 900 days of care. I mean, is that 900 days? This isn't a library. 900 days of care just went out to moms and their children, single moms. Just because people went to Facebook and said, I went to church today. Or I heard a funny joke. They didn't even say you go to church. Just say, I'm on a lame website, but people give food because of it. Whatever. Just Just go there, okay? I'm going to throw some music on. You can process. I'll come back and say a prayer. So what did you write on your little card? And one thing I wanted to say to you is that Jesus doesn't take the summer off. So you can count on him. He won't stop loving you or forgiving you or giving you mercy. He won't disappear for the summer and sort of fade away. He wants to be with you just as much as he ever wants to be with you during the summertime. And what did you write on your card? Like, what is it you want to see occur? Don't stop sowing this summer and end up with no harvest in the fall. Sow this summer. Put some seeds in the ground this summer so when the fall comes, there's a harvest for you to move towards the end of the year. Summer's a fantastic time to blend in a lot of fun and recreation and invite Jesus to do something during that span of time. Let me say a prayer for us. Lord, this is the time of year that we get to do all sorts of things that in our community we don't get to do in the wintertime. And we're grateful for the way you created our earth, that it has a rhythm to it and seasons and things change. We love the summer in Salt Lake City, Lord. It opens up so many awesome things that we get to do. Lord, help us not to fade away this summer and forget to sow and to take the summer off spiritually and then end up in the fall rattled or distracted or faded away. I pray on the basis of this talk that we would start with the end in mind. We're going to ask you for something this summer. We're going to see how you respond and what we get to receive. Help us get going, Lord, to not procrastinate, to get moving. So when the fall comes, we'll have a harvest to share and plant again. We pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Hey, good to see you guys. We'll see you next Sunday.